If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of James. I would like to read James chapter 1 and verse 17. And I know that you probably, without even turning to that verse of Scripture, you probably know what it says. Most of you could probably quote this verse by heart. And yet I think that often in our lives that we become so familiar with truth and we take it for granted. And I think that there are many times that we don't appreciate truths that we have known all of our lives. We just sang that song, How Great Thou Art. Now, when you believe in the sovereignty of God, when you know that God is all-powerful, God is all-wise, I believe that if you have always understood that truth, that you tend to not appreciate that truth as much as you should. There's a statement about God here in James chapter 1, there are actually several statements in James 1 verse 17. There are several statements here that you all are familiar with, but I want us to think about what God's Word says in James chapter 1 and verse 17. The Word of God says in James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, what would you say is the most important statement in that verse of Scripture? All right, Brother Jerry said, no variableness. Anybody else have a thought about what's the most important thing in that verse? Okay, that all good gifts come down from God, all right? Every bit, every phrase in that sentence is very important. Now, the one that's on my heart is what Brother Jerry mentioned first, is that there is no variableness with God. There is no variableness with God. And brethren, I think that we all know that, we understand it, but I pray that God will help us to realize that it's because of that truth that there is no variableness with God. God does not vary, and God does not change, and because of that truth that we have a lot of blessings in our life, but one of the blessings we have is that we have no fear of losing our eternal salvation because there is no variableness with God. Did you know that if God could vary, if God could change, if God could love you one day and not love you the next day, if God was variable like that, are we variable like that? Are we variable? We're variable in everything in our lives. We're variable in our knowledge and our understanding. God is not. We're variable in our presence. We're here one day and gone the next. We can't be in but one place at one time. We're variable in our love. We're variable in our devotion and our affection to other people. Aren't there people today that you don't love today that you used to love? Well, why? Because there is variableness with us. But there is no variableness with God. Did you know that everybody that God loves today, every single person that God loves today, that He loved them before the foundation of the world? God doesn't start loving somebody. God is eternal and God has loved us. The Word of God says that God has loved us and loves us with an everlasting love. Now, not only does God not start loving us, but God cannot stop loving us. Why isn't that? Why is that true? Why can't He stop loving us? What does the text say? Because there is no variableness with God. God doesn't love a lot of people today and fewer people tomorrow and then more people the next day. The love of God does not fluctuate. And I want you to know that God loves you just as much today as the day that He sent His only begotten Son into the earth to die for our sins. God loves you just as much when God's love for you is just as strong when you're in obedience as in disobedience. His love does not change. Now, His manifestation of His love, He has set forth a principle, as a principle about God, that when you stop manifesting your love to God, there's a principle, there's no variableness, it doesn't matter who you are, but when you stop showing your love for God, God will stop manifesting. There's no variableness. God doesn't have exceptions. There is no respecter of persons with God. So there's no variableness with God, and everybody God loves today, He's always loved and will always love. I'm thankful that God can't stop loving me. Are you thankful for that truth? That God cannot stop loving you. Why not? Well, because God does not change. In fact, the Word of God says, if you'll back up just a little bit to start with Matthew, go back to Matthew and back up about three pages before the book of Matthew. And I want you to notice in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I want you to notice that the Word of God, God makes this statement to Jacob or the children of Israel, and God declares something that's very important in connection with the fact that there is no variableness with God. In Malachi chapter 3, look in your Bibles, please, at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, and listen to what God says to His people. They're His chosen people, and He loves them, but I want you to hear what He says to them. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Isn't that the same thing as there's no variableness with God? "I change not. Therefore," it's because He does not change, God says, "therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." What is He saying to the sons of Jacob? He's saying, "I love you, and it's because you're sons of Jacob, and because I do not change, that's the reason you're not consumed." The only reason that God doesn't just take you and cast you away from Him eternally is because God does not change. The only reason that you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God is because God does not change. And we need to thank God for the security and the peace that we have. Because God says here, "Because I change not, the sons of Jacob," and this includes you and me, "the sons of Jacob are not consumed." What else can you think about God that does not change? Besides the fact that His love does not change, what else can you think of about God that you know that it's true that this never changes about God? What else can you think of? Okay, the promises of God. The promises of God are sure and steadfast. God cannot lie. God can't make a promise and then change His mind on that promise. Have you ever done that? Have you ever made a promise and then backed up on your promise? Have you ever made a promise and did not fulfill that promise? Well, the promises of God are sure and steadfast, and God's promises cannot ever be altered because God cannot change. And because God cannot change, because there's no variableness with God, His promises don't change. Did you know the laws of God never change? Isn't that a marvelous and wonderful truth? There's a lot of change going on in society today. The laws that are true today were not true 50 years ago. Laws that were true and valid 50 years ago, many of those have been negated by the Supreme Court today. Listen, brethren, there are a lot of variableness. There's a lot of variableness going on in our society today as far as the laws of our land and the morality of our land and the principle about what's right and what's wrong. They're changing in our society. But as far as God is concerned, what's right has always been right, and what's wrong has always been wrong. Why? Because the laws of God and the righteousness of God does not change. Isn't it wonderful that you can teach your children what's right and what's wrong? You can teach them that, and when they get to be an old person, those principles that you teach them, you know they'll still be true because the laws of God never change. Because God does not change. God doesn't change His mind and decide that something that was sin 1,000 years ago is no longer sin. It's still sin today. Everything that has ever been sin is still sin today. There's no variableness with God. There is no variableness with God. Go with me back in your Bibles to Psalm 139. I want you to think about how there's no variableness in the knowledge of God. How many of you increase and decrease in knowledge? How many of you grow in knowledge? We're supposed to be growing, all of us, not only about things of the world. Brother Richard, do you hope that Brother Walker will grow in knowledge in the next 10 years? In school, do you hope he'll grow in that kind of knowledge? Yes. In the Word of God, do you hope he'll grow in that kind of knowledge? Do we vary in the amount of knowledge we have? And the amazing thing is that as you get older, and you keep getting older, your knowledge and your understanding increases and increases, but then what finally begins to happen at some particular age? What happens to that knowledge? It begins to decrease. Why? Because we're human. We're different than God. Our knowledge increases, our knowledge decreases. We forget things that we used to know. Not so with God. God never forgets. There is no variableness with the knowledge of God. God is omniscient. God knows everything. Did you know God knows more about you and God knows more about me than I know about myself? You may know a lot about me and you may know a lot about you and you may know a lot about yourself. Sometimes, brethren, you don't even know yourself as well as you think you do. But God knows everything about us. And some people actually believe that God is shocked sometimes at what goes on in this world. Listen, brethren, God's not shocked. He doesn't increase in knowledge. God doesn't love you and then all of a sudden you do something and He stops loving you. That's not the love of God. And God doesn't not love you and because you do something good, God starts loving you. That's not the love of God. There's no variableness in the love of God and there's no variableness in the knowledge of God. Did you know that, and here's a great blessing because there's no variableness in the knowledge of God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus died for my sins and for your sins, and the sins of all of His people that were chosen out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, when Christ Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, did He know about every single sin in your life? Right then, did He know about every sin? And when He died on the cross of Calvary, He died for every one of those sins. He knew every sin I would ever commit. Even thoughts that we have that are evil, does God know about all those? Has He known from even before the foundation of the world about all those sins? Everything that we would ever do. When you get up in the morning, you might not be sure about what you're going to do and what you're going to be thinking and what you're going to be saying. Listen, brethren, God's knowledge doesn't increase. He knows just as much about you today as He's always known. I want you to look in Psalm 139, I want you to see that the knowledge of God, God has perfect knowledge. There is no variableness with God when it comes to knowledge. And I want us to know that we need to be praising God and thanking God, that there is no variableness in the love of God, and thank God that there's no variableness in the promises of God, and thank God that there's no variableness in the knowledge of God. In Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, O Lord, this is what David is saying. David says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and... what's the next word? Known me. What does God know about you? Let's just name... I know you can say everything, but tell me some things God knows about you. Yes. And I think that's the most important thing that I wanted to get to. I wanted to kind of... He knows about what we're going to be doing. He knows what we are doing. He knows all of our outward actions. He knows what we're thinking, and that's what He talks about here. But He gets right down to the fact that God knows our heart. He knows... not only what we're doing, but He knows why we're doing it. God never increases in knowledge. And it's a great blessing to know and understand that God, there's no variableness with the knowledge of God. What does man look on? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, He looks right down into the heart. And the Word of God says here in Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my down-sitting and mine uprising. You know, Teresa and I were talking about this on the way to church tonight, about how God just knows everything. And the more you think about God, and the more you know about God, and the more you meditate on God, God just begins to permeate your life in everything that you do. In everything that happens, you think, thank you, Lord. There was a big mosquito, and this is what she specifically was talking about. She said yesterday that there was a big mosquito in the house, and when she hit the mosquito and killed the mosquito, she said, I just said out loud, thank you, Lord. Listen, brethren, when you're close to God, everything you're doing, you think about now, God helped me, God blessed me, God did that for me. The point is that God knows your down-sitting and your uprising and everything you're doing. And not only do you need to know that God knows that, but you need to be conscious that God is there with you. What will it do? What will it do for you if you know that God knows and is there with you when you're getting up in the morning? Do you do things differently when you know that somebody's watching you than when you don't think anybody's watching you? Do you sometimes act differently when you know somebody's watching you? I think most all of us do. That if you know somebody's looking at you, if you know somebody that you care about is watching you, you know, do you think, Brother Richard, that all your employers are going to act the same, employees are going to act the same way, whether you're there or whether you're not there? If they know that you're watching them, are they going to do a little better? All of us, I think, are that way. Now, the point I'm trying to get across is that David understood that God knows my downsitting and my uprising. And he comes on down in the next verse, verse 3, he says, "Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Everything I know, everything I'm doing, God knows about all my ways. "For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." I was talking with a brother this week that was just trying to greatly improve his life and trying to change his life, trying to live better. And he said, "Brother Billy," he said, "I've been able to stop saying foul words that I used to say, but I'm still having to work on thinking those words." Now, brethren, he's headed in the right direction, isn't he? But the point is that God, and this is what's being stressed here by David, God knows everything that comes out of my mouth. God knows my downsitting and my uprising. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm saying. Every word, the Bible tells us that Jesus says in the New Testament that every word that comes out of our mouth, that we're going to be judged according to our words. So David says here, do you think that as you read these words that David was writing down, do you think David lived better at the close of the day or during the day? Let's suppose he wrote this psalm early in the morning. How do you think David lived the rest of the day after he was sitting down writing all these things down? I think he had to live a lot better because it was bringing to his mind and bringing to his attention that there's no variableness with the knowledge of God. God knows everything we're doing. He says in verse 5, he says, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." Listen to what he says in verse 6. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Listen, brethren, the knowledge of God is beyond our comprehension. And there's no variableness with the knowledge of God. His perfect knowledge. He has perfect knowledge about everything. Not only is He omniscient, that is, He knows everything, and there's no variableness with His knowledge, but the next two verses, verses 7 and 8, talk about how that He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. Listen now to verses 7 and 8. The Word of God says, David says, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there." What's he saying there? He says, you know everything about me. You know everything about me, but you don't just know everything, you're there. God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. There's no variableness with God. How does it make you feel when you think about that there is no variableness with God? Does it make you feel good? There's no variableness with God? It ought to make you feel good. But then there's some heads that are going like this. Well, it also make you be concerned about what you're doing and what you're thinking, what you're saying, because you know that God sees and knows all things. Go with me to the book of Isaiah just a moment. Look in your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 46. Has God ever said something was going to happen before it happened? Has God ever said that something is going to happen before it ever happened? He does that a number of times in the Word of God. All through the New Testament, there's a statement that you keep finding recorded that something happened and the Word of God was fulfilled. The promises of God were fulfilled. This goes back to the statement that Brother Terry made, is that the promises of God are sure. There's no variableness in the promises of God. Did you know you go through the Old Testament, you look at every single promise that God made in the Old Testament, there has never been a one of those promises that was not fulfilled. God fulfills every promise He ever makes. In Isaiah chapter 46, listen to verses 9, 10, and 11. I want you to think about not only is there no variableness in the love of God, not only is there no variableness in the promises of God, there's no variableness in the knowledge of God, there's no variableness in the presence of God. I want you to think about the fact that the Word of God teaches very plainly that there's no variableness in the counsels of God. And this is closely connected to what Brother Terry said about there's no variable in the promises of God. There's no difference in the counsels or declarations of God. If God says something is going to be, if God says it's going to come to pass, it cannot help but come to pass because God is omniscient and God is omnipotent and God will cause it to come to pass. In Isaiah chapter 46, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else." Is there anybody else that there is no variableness with? Is there anybody else other than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Is there anybody else that there's no variableness with? Not a one. But He says, "I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like Me." Now listen carefully to verse 10. "Declaring the end from the beginning." You know who's declared when this world is going to come to an end? Is it man that's going to bring it to an end, or is God the one that's going to wrap it all up? Do you know who created this world, who spoke this world into existence? Well, the Word of God tells us, and we'll look at that in just a moment in closing, but the same God that laid the foundations of this world, that same God is going to wrap it all up and bring it to a close. He started it, He's going to end it. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, the Word of God says that God declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand." You hear that? "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all My pleasure." He says in verse 11, "Calling a ravenous bird from the east, and the man that executeth My counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." Anything God declares He's going to do will be done. Why? Because there's no variableness with God. When God says that something is going to happen, it's as good as if it's already done. You remember how the Word of God said that Jesus stood as a lamb slain from when? From the foundation of the world. Jesus stood as a lamb slain. Was it sure and positive and without fail that Jesus was going to die on the cross of Calvary? Was there an appointed hour that He was going to die at the very hour that God had ordained that that was going to take place? There was a specific time, and nothing could alter or change that fact. You remember Jeremiah, one of the prophets of God, that God says, "I have ordained thee to be a prophet unto men." Well now, could anything change that? Could somebody kill Jeremiah before he became a prophet? There was a hedge around Jeremiah, and that was going to happen because God had ordained it to happen. God is able, and the only one that's able, to say what He will do in the future. All of us need to always remember, when you talk about what you're going to do in the future, you say, "If I live and the Lord's willing, I'll do that." But God can say, "I will do this. I will bring it all to a close." Go with me in closing to Hebrews chapter 1. Look in your Bibles, please, at Hebrews chapter 1, and I want you to just thank the Lord that there is no variableness with God. Listen in Hebrews chapter 1, listen to verses 10, 11, and 12. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10, the Word of God speaks about the fact that there is no variableness with God when it comes to Him creating this earth and bringing it to a close. If you're worried about some other country bringing this world to a close, you're worried about something you shouldn't be worried about. And in Hebrews chapter 1, listen to verses 10, 11, and 12. The Word of God says, "And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth." Who did that? Who spoke this world into existence? God did. "Thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest." Is the earth going to change? Is the earth changing? But is God changing? No. He says, "They shall perish," that is, the heavens and the earth shall perish, "but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment." All the things in this world are waxing old. Verse 12 says, "And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed." Well, that's everything in this world. It all changes, but what about God? The rest of that verse says, "But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail." Brethren, I thank God for the peace and the joy and the comfort and the assurance that we have because God does not change. And we need to be thanking God and praising God that He does not change. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.